When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Elevate your summer with Osea's best-selling body care set. It's everything you need for radiant summer skin on the go. Featuring travel sizes of Osea's clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral skincare, like their best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil. Right now, you can get the best-sellers body care set, a $78 value, 33% off. And use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at OCEAMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, Watch Forest Focus. The relegation battle looks to have lost another contender after Everton beat title-chasing Liverpool last night. Can Nottingham Forest find a way to match that beat and beat Manchester City on Sunday? Joining me to discuss that today, I've got two great guests as normal. One of them spends all their time on the BBC. The other one's Emily Anderson. Greg Mitchell, how are you doing? Fresh from more TV appearances?
I'm all right. I've just realised I've not turned my little on-air sign on, so my sister might moan, so I'll have to do that.
You do that while we introduce Emily Anderson. Emily, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, fear that Greg's going to take my job one of these days.
I know.
Every time I turn the telly, there you are. You're just on my telly all the time.
Yeah, that's it, on a giant screen. Right, good to talk about some football. We might touch on VAR, but not much at all, really. Right, Emily, massive game on Sunday. We're right up against it. I don't really give us much chance, but how are you feeling about it?
This week's not been a great week, has it? And as a Forest fan, I think it's the lowest I've felt all season, I have to say. I cannot wait for this season to be over. I feel scared, worried, apprehensive, all those things you can think of. On paper, we're highly unlikely to get anything out of Sunday's game. We're playing one of the best footballing teams in the world with one of the best coaches in the world, and our current form is absolutely dire. We somehow managed to get a point last season, didn't we, against all the odds. And part of me wishes we could just bottle that atmosphere from when Chris Ward scored right to the final whistle. And I feel like if we could just try and remember what that felt like and take that into the Man City game, then maybe we stand the smallest of chance. We need every little bit of help we can get on Sunday. They've obviously still got the title to fight for. They're out of the Champions League. They could still get the double, couldn't they, with the FA Cup. We're allegedly fighting relegation, but it feels like there's no fight in our team. We know it's going to be a battle on Sunday. Whether it's a very one-sided battle, that remains to be seen. My big fear is, are we up for that fight? And that's my big, big worry going into the Man City game. Because if we go into a game like that against a team that very rarely slip up, very rarely drop points, it could be embarrassing. I just hope somehow we manage to fight. And actually, if you look at the teams we've played in the top half of the division this season, although the results haven't gone our way against the likes of Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, those are the games we seem to be up for. Liverpool at home, we were very unlucky. I think Arsenal away, we could have got something at the Emirates had the game gone on for a bit longer. So we seem to be able to drag ourselves up for those games. I just hope that we can on Sunday and hope that we can potentially get something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my big worries about this team is I don't think they'll realise they're in a relegation battle until they're sat on the pitch at Turf Moor on the final whistle realising they're down. That's what kind of scares me about them. They don't have the look of a team that looks like they know they're in a dogfight. So I'm hoping we see that on Sunday, see something about them that makes them believe they're putting everything into it. What about you, Greg? How are you feeling about it?
Pretty similar, to be honest. It is a, it's a scary one. It's a lot different to last year, just because of, it was almost a free hit last year when we played them, where it's so critical now. Like, every single scrap of a point is critical. But all I keep thinking is it's Man City. And for some reason, I put Man City on this pedestal way ahead of Arsenal and Liverpool, where this, the league doesn't lie, really. They're pretty similar to them this year. I don't actually think they're as strong as last year. So we did put up a fight against Liverpool. Should have got a draw. You know, we were okay against Arsenal. So you just never know. But like Emily said, you just... I'm not sure whether the players actually feel it yet. And they're running out of time, especially now when you look at the table. I look at Burnley more than Luton and think they're a worry, and I don't want to go to that last game needing something. So it's games like this weekend where we just somehow have to find something we haven't found for a while. And we ended Arsenal's league campaign last season. Wouldn't it be incredible to do it to another team? But it'll be the toughest challenge yet for Nuno, that's for sure.
I guess one thing you hope, Emily, is that we've had so much anger about VAR all season, but specifically this week. And I don't think the players have particularly channeled it the right way throughout. It feels to me like it's been an excuse too many times. But surely now, hopefully now, we can use it, some kind of righteous indignation, and just take that on the pitch, I guess. Would that be what we're looking for?
I think we just need to forget about VAR, because decisions are going to go against us. Decisions are going against every team. We've talked about the frailties of VAR more than I care to, really. I think we've just got to focus on how we play and go in there with the right attitude, not worry about VAR. There will likely be VAR decisions on Sunday that will impact the game. They may go against us, they may go for us. Let's just play football. Let's not use it as an excuse every week, because, you know, the three penalties we should have got against Everton doesn't account for the fact that the team played terribly. So let's focus on actually playing some decent football and hoping that VAR... does go our way on Sunday. Just be brave, play our own way. Don't be intimidated by Man City. Greg says he feels that they're on this pedestal. But why should they be? You know, they're a team of 11 human beings that do sometimes slip up. Man City have had the odd slip up. Why not be against little old Forest on Sunday when no one gives us any hope of getting anything out of it?
A couple of interesting points in the chat as well. Us saying that the players don't know that they're bothered. Dan saying it's a lack of experience, and the players, he says, are feeling it too much. And Liam says, and one man's not arsed, another man's not panicking. I'd probably like to see a little more panic, I suppose, Liam, in that case. Not panic, urgency might be the right word. Derek's telling us to get a grip and stop being so pessimistic. So I don't know if that's aimed at us or the chat. So what, you're the most optimistic person here, Greg, closely followed by Emily. What chance do you give us of getting a positive result at the weekend?
Same chance as last season.
Yeah.
But say we played this game 10 times. How many times do we get a draw, do you think? Or a win?
Twice, realistically. Twice. But It's Man City have lost and drawn quite a few games away from home this season. You know, I think Brentford did it, didn't they, when they were really poor. It might not have been Brentford, I can't remember. But they can lose games. The pressure, the amount of pressure on that team at the minute, it's huge. They've just been knocked out of the cup they thought they were going to walk through, and they haven't. So, yeah, there's always a chance, and we've just got to make sure we've got everything pointing in the right direction, and every little ball, every cross goes our way, most decisions go away. It can happen. They get a man sent off after 5 minutes. These things, the unpredictability of this league is what's great. And so hopefully it might just happen.
What about you, Emily? We're playing this game 10 times. How many times are we getting anything?
Oh, I wouldn't like to bet on that. I just think there's always a chance in whatever game you play. You can put two sides on a pitch and any result can happen. Not quite as extreme, but last night, look at Everton. Who'd have thought that they'd beat Liverpool 2-0 at Goodison? They've had an awful run in the Merseyside derby, and suddenly they pull off a win and made Liverpool look very ordinary. Man City are playing tonight. They've got a trip to Brighton, which isn't going to be easy for them. So potentially, could there be the tired legs from tonight? Haaland's a doubt, isn't he? But I guess they've got a million other world-class players that they can bring in. There is always a chance. There is always a chance. You know, like I said, we've turned up against the big team, so why not? You know, if we're thinking, oh, we're not going to get anything out of it, what's that saying to the players? We've got to be as positive and as upbeat as we can be, because like Greg said, this isn't a free hit this year. Last year it was great to get that point that we didn't think we were going to get against Man City at home. But we're in a dogfight, and you know, if there's a chance that we could get one or even 3 points on Sunday, we've got to go for it. I don't see why not. You know, stranger things have happened.
I guess last season, like, we were the only team to even take a point off City, I think, in February and beyond. So that was the 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 games. So it can certainly happen. How do you want to go about it, Greg? Because I spoke to the opposition preview is out tomorrow, and I spoke to a reporter from the Manchester News, said, what teams have success against City? And he said, teams that have done well and sat in are Real Madrid and Arsenal, and we're not quite them. So I don't know if we want to sit in. He said teams that do best against them have a clear footballing identity and know what they're about. And I don't think we have that either. So how do you want us to go about it tactically?
We still haven't found our starting 11, have we? And we're in April, almost May. So, our friend Emma always goes on about possession, and I think we've just got to give them the possession. Let them play the ball and get them on that break. It's going to be our only chance, really. Just get the counter-attack and be quick when we have it. Use our pace when we have it and try and catch them off guard. But we are just going to have to batten down the hatches and take wave after wave after wave. And then one of those things doesn't go for them, and we're just going to have to get them then. So, yeah, sitting back and waiting for a chance and taking it when it comes, because we're only going to get two or three in their box. But, yeah, it could happen.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I guess there are templates that have worked for us, Emily. Mm-hmm. I mean, Arsenal at home last season, Liverpool at home this season. I know we lost the game in the most painful way, but that was a Nuno team that did pretty well. So we do have it in us. How do you want to see us go about it?
Well, I hate us being passive, and I hate how sometimes we start games, don't we, where we can't get hold of the ball. We don't appear to be chasing down players. We're not pressing. But Man City love possession. We know they love to play football. They can pass it around the park all day. And we know they're going to get the majority of possession on Sunday. So a bit like Greg, I feel that we're just going to have to be really, really patient. Concentrate 100% of the time, use wing backs. You see, that's reflected in my team selection to go on those counter attacks as and when we can, which we know will be few and far between. I think we need to make it ugly for Man City on Sunday. They can play football, they've got ridiculous talent in the likes of De Bruyne, Foden. You know, I could go on Rodri. So make it ugly, make it uncomfortable, you know. Use the crowd, use the fact that we're an old traditional stadium. The changing rooms won't be what they're used to. Make it really intimidating for them, and don't be passive. So, yes, allow them to have the possession, be nipping at their heels every time. And I think that way we can possibly get something.
Just before we come to our lineups, then a quick word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. Straight after the game on Sunday, Richie Muir is performing live on the stage, so do check that out. And also, there's the Rick Parfitt gig after the Chelsea game, and I spoke to Rick earlier in the week, and that came out yesterday. And he's a lovely guy, and he's really looking forward to that gig, and he really wants to do well and not let the fans down, which I found quite endearing, considering, you know, he's a guy who's played to huge audiences at the Isle of Wight Festival and stuff like that. And it was nice to hear his burgeoning love of Forest as someone who moved to the city 6 or 7 years ago, I think he said. So, yeah, that's after the Chelsea game as well. So two good events to check out then. Right, let's
did
go
you,
to...
Sorry, did you see Danscape's comment earlier saying how the Nav should have the thing as you walk in saying bar, not far? I thought that was quite funny.
When was that?
It was earlier on. It just made me chuckle. Maybe it's in advertising or something.
Yeah, I can't stop highlighting his comments because I'll give him an ego, but he just put some funny ones in. Right, let's go to our lineups then. These are just in order that they've dropped in. So first we have got Greg's team, and I'll read it out and he can talk us through some thinking behind it. So it's Matt Sells in goal, back three of Omobamadeli, Niakate and Murillo, Nico Williams and Ola Aina as wingbacks, Danilo and Yates in central midfield with Gibbs White and Hudson-Odoi in support of Chris Wood. I've sort of put the players roughly where I think you want them to be, Greg, from what you sent me, but talk around that about what you're thinking and why you've gone for a couple of those players.
I just think we've got to have the three lads at the back just because they're going to be so busy. And I think in that position against these, it might just do us a little bit more of a favour. But the key for me was just having the likes of Nico Williams and Hudson-Odoi ready to go if the counter-attack's there and possible. I mean, Chris Wood picks himself because I don't think Taiwo's ready yet, is he? So Chris Wood has to play, and Gibbs White, obviously. He's and Yates, just to win us those free kicks and just to be that little annoying guy in the middle who can frustrate him and, you know, just do what he does best, really. So yeah, it was a tough one. All I did, if I'm honest, was look back at the Wolves team and shore it up at the back a little bit more.
Well, if Nuno does that and it works, then I'm fully on board. I mean, I guess we're coming back to Ryan Yates a bit again here, but Yates versus Dominguez, you know, is that fair to take Dominguez out after one game, or do we know what Yates brings and he's what fits the bill in this one?
Yates just knows these games so much more, doesn't he? And when we've played Yates against these big teams, he's done all right and we've got things. And I think on Sunday when the substitution was made, there was a bit of a relief and it looked a bit different in the middle. So, yeah, I think Yates has earned his spot. He's the kind of player for this game.
Let's go to Emily's team because it's pretty similar, just a couple of different personnel. I'll read it out again for listeners who aren't with us on YouTube. Excuse me. Sells in goal, Omobamadeli, Niakate, or that might be someone else, but Emily will explain, and Murillo, Williams and Aina as wingbacks again, Yates and Dominguez in midfield with Elanga and Gibbs White in support of Chris Wood. So a couple of different personnel there, Emily, but basically the same shape. What's your thinking behind your team?
Well, I think we have to go for a back five. It may be deemed as a bit of a negative lineup, but I think that will really help with the potential counterattacks, having Nico Williams bombing, maybe feeding Elanga on the right as he does that. I've gone for Dominguez over Danilo because I thought, to be kind, the midfield against Everton was anemic. It was just so passive. It just wasn't there. And Danilo frustrated me time and time again on Sunday. He's a hugely talented player and he's still very young and he's got a lot to learn. But I just feel like it's more of a game for Yates. And I'm sure I'll get pelted in the comments from people who say that Yates was having a terrible run. He had a terrible game against Wolves. I think it was it? When did he have that awful game? Was it against Wolves? But I think that, like Greg says, this is the game for Yates. We need someone with not only the passion, but the ability to break up play, the ability to draw fouls. And I think that I'd rather have Elanga on the pitch as that attacking threat than Hudson-Odoi, because Hudson-Odoi, for all that he brings to the game, he just seems to do the same thing, cutting in, finding that blade of grass ready to shoot. And I think the defenders have totally worked him out, and the Man City defence would be happy to nullify him, whereas Alanga's got a bit more pace, he's got a bit more about his game, hopefully whipping across into the box for Wood to get on the end of. So yeah, that's why I've gone for it. Oh, the only other personnel I would change is if Felipe's fit, I'd probably stick him in the middle instead of Niakate for his Felipe's defensive heading, getting the ball out of danger ability. But I don't know where we are with his injury. And I know Bolly's not likely to feature either, is he?
No. That's an interesting point about Hudson-Odoi I've not considered. I think you're right. I mean, Kyle Walker is going to eat Hudson-Odoi alive if he keeps doing the same thing. So, yeah, he needs to mix his game up a bit. What about Gio Reyna? He's not in your team. Was there any place for him or not?
I feel like he's a bit of a luxury for Sunday's game because he's okay. I mean, what do you think, Greg? You know him better from his Borussia Dortmund days, but he's been fine. He's been great. But I think we need the pace, and I don't think he's got the pace of Alanga. He kind of, where he likes to play is in Gibbs White's position, which means Gibbs White isn't playing on the top of his game. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I'd start Reyna.
Yeah, I agree. He is a bench option at the minute. He's not done bad at all. He's not like set the thing alight, but I just think we've got to go steady. Got to go steady in what we know. And I don't think Reyna starts against Man City. I think that'd be very brave.
Okay, so the reason we were late starting was because I was pissing around.
Brushing your hair.
Do I look like it? Doing a different team, something completely different that I don't think Nuno will pick, but I just wanted to present a different alternative around something that I don't know if this would work at all, actually. But I'm on board with the back four. So Sells in goal, back four, Williams, Niakate, Murillo and Aina, and then a very narrow midfield, which I think is maybe the way to go, which works against Arsenal and Liverpool. Yates and I put Sangare in because literally I did it in last minute, but I don't know if it would be him. But I'll make a case for him. Yates and Sangare, Danilo and Dominguez in the box, and then Gibbs White in support of Wood. And I just wonder if it's a way to go because City are going to control the ball so much. If we play three at the back, it's going to be five at the back, and we're never going to get out. At least with having Danilo and Dominguez with energy in midfield to get up and down the pitch and Gibbs White, we can hopefully spring at least a couple of counter-attacks. Because the one thing about City is they will give you a chance. They dominate the game so much that they do leave the odd space in. And they also have this weird habit earlier in the season, like literally the first shot on target ended up in the back of the net. That happened in like four or five games. So we are going to get an opportunity in this game. It's more about whether we can defend. So I don't mind a back four and I don't mind a narrow midfield. And it doesn't have to be Sangare at all. He's literally like, oh, I've got 1 minute to go before this podcast. Who am I going to put in there? You could actually play Reyna where Dominguez is and then have Reyna and Danilo as the more advanced midfielders. But it's just the principle of trying to pack a midfield and frustrate and send them out wide and not let De Bruyne, you know, get all the space and Foden come inside. So that was my thinking. I'll read the comments about how bad people think that is. But any thoughts on that, Emily?
I quite like that, actually. You know, when you first put the team up, it scared me having the back four. But actually, that's a really tight midfield, isn't it? And maybe this is the game for Sangare to play against the world's elite. Maybe this is the game where he can actually play football. I wouldn't be against it if he started with that lineup. It'd be hugely surprising, but stranger things have happened. There was no Alanga in that team, was there, or Hudson-Odoi?
No, none
of the pacey players, but I suppose you'd use maybe Nico as the pace man. It's an interesting lineup.
I think as well, like Danilo, we've seen he can break beyond, and Dominguez can break beyond, so it's something different. And also, Greg, if you think back to when we drew with City last season, I'm sure our midfield was something ridiculous like Colback, Shelby, Yates, and Freuler, which is not as good as that four on paper. But, you know, it shows if you can frustrate City, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, we are just reading Danscape's comments, aren't we, and going from that. He's just said Shelby was in, which shocked me.
Colback started as well, I'm sure, in that game, yeah.
But, yeah, it just shows, doesn't it? And who knows? I mean, we've had such bad news the last few weeks. It's just been rubbish after rubbish coming out of everywhere. And what if there is a massive surprise? What if Taiwo's suddenly fit for this run-in? and you've got that option of Tyrone Wood, I think that changes everything. So the more I sit here, the more I read the comments that we're not just being a bit delusional. There's still a chance. There is. I know, forgetting the Man City game, the entire running, there's a chance for points and we just need that boost. And it might be a Sangare having a great game against City and finally doing what we've paid him for this season. And you just never know. It's certainly not over yet. And there's a lot of people who seems to be resigning themselves to it and we're just not there. So it might be this game that changes some minds.
That's a fair point, Emily. And when you look at the fixtures to come, like Sheffield United, they shipped another four goals last night at Man United, but I'm not going to read too much into that. Chelsea, Fletch gave an impassioned speech about why they're so much better and they got tanked 5-0, which I don't blame Fletch for, because you take Cole Palmer and Thiago Silva out of that team and they're different. But they are very flaky. So there's narratives around every game. We'll talk about Luton in a minute. There's always a narrative. I think it just comes down to us and, you know, can we as a team just stand up and do what we should have been capable of earlier this season?
Yeah, we've talked about it all season, haven't we? We've got the ability, we've got the quality in the players, but they don't seem to be able to translate every single week on the pitch, which is where we find ourselves where we are. But yeah, Sheffield United last night ended up losing 4-2 to Man United, having gone ahead twice in the game. They could be relegated by Saturday. You know, we've had years of competition against Sheffield United and it's always felt like a derby game, even though, you know, officially it's not. I just think we've got to go into that game, knowing the Sheffield United game, that is, full of confidence, because we should be beating a Sheffield United. We should be getting something out of Burnley. And yes, I heard Fletch talking about Chelsea and then they get tonked 5-0. Chelsea are inconsistent. So since we've been back in the Premier League, I think I'm right in saying they've not beaten us yet. So, you know, remember stuff like that. And, you know, Man City, well, you may end up getting undone by Kevin De Bruyne, a wonder strike. There's no shame in that at all. That happens to the best teams in the world. So I just think we've got to have that belief. That's all it's down to. It feels like a team that's totally lacking in confidence, a fan base that's feeling scared and frustrated as well. Maybe like Greg said, maybe a positive result, whatever that may be, against Man City might be the trigger we need just to push us through for those last few games of the season.
And that fight, Greg, because I don't think it didn't feel like it was there at Everton, but it was against Liverpool at home. If we perform, is that something we can take from it, even if we lose the game, if we put up a real fight?
It's just this time of the season, isn't it? It's results, not performances now. Towards the start of the season, you can lose 2-0 or whatever it was at home to Arsenal and really put up a good fight and you walk out with your head held high. It's too late for that now. There's two home games left against, I know Chelsea were poor, but two good teams. And we've got to get results. We have to get points from somewhere. So the fight isn't going to be good enough. We've got to get results.
Let's talk quickly about the other games then and see what narratives we can spin and derive from them in our favour. Wolves versus Luton and Man United v Burnley are probably the main two. I mean, I think Everton are out of it now and they've got Brentford, so that's another team at the bottom. So Man United v Burnley, Greg, Man U were awful but should be able to beat them. But if Burnley gets something, do we start absolutely panicking then?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do believe it's us v Burnley. I do. And I know they're saying about the tough running. Man United away isn't a tough game for teams down at the bottom. Look what we did, 2-0 up after 5 minutes. Sheffield United went ahead twice last night. Burnley will be going there absolutely thinking they could get something. They really will be. But Ten Hag's fighting for his job. He's probably already lost it. So, Man United have got to turn it on because their fans are probably more upset than ours at the minute. So we'll just hope they do that for us. Then who have Luton got? Wolves.
Wolves away, yeah.
Yeah, again, it's a game they think they might be able to get something from, but we've just got to hope and pray that the other teams do their job this weekend and all will be okay.
Yes, I mean, suffice to say, Emily, I assume you've seen the Wolves goal that was disallowed last night. Wolves were certainly more than a little unlucky after being, you know, at Wells again. So do you think Wolves can beat Luton?
Well, they should do. Yeah, I mean, 100%. They've got a great manager, really good players to back that up. My only worry is Wolves are so inconsistent, particularly at home. And they're obviously safe now. They've not really got a lot to play for. And as we know, Luton are that team that just won't go away, although they've had two absolute drubbings, haven't they, against Brentford and Man City. I'd like to think that Wolves could get something out of that game. They were really unlucky last night. And a bit like Greg, my I know it seems silly when you look at Burnley's running, but they are my big fear that we go, oh yeah, Luton keep losing, we're fine, we just need to match Luton. But Burnley are so close. And if they can get something out of United, which isn't against the realms of possibility, then it's looking really, really quite tight down there, and it's a real worry for us. My only hope is, because Man United is still chasing Europe, they've got the most outside chance of a Champions League spot, but they're certainly chasing one of the other European places. Will that see them through to get the 3 points against Burnley? I think if both Luton and Burnley can lose at the weekend, that will settle my nerves ever so slightly. Because then, you know, even if we ended up getting tonked by Man City, it remains the same at the bottom. But yeah, I mean, I feel so scared. I'm just so scared. I just want this season to be over.
I think that's the big thing for me. Like, Luton and Burnley losing, even if we lose to City, which I'm equally expecting, as long as we don't wake up on, you know, start this podcast on Monday morning talking about them both getting results, then I'll panic. I think Luton, I'm tempting fate here. I just don't think they've got enough in them. I know you people that'll come back and bite me. I think Burnley have got more quality and they might be able to pull a result out of the bag. I don't see it in Luton.
They seemed, I think Burnley as well. Vincent Kompany stuck with his style of play, and to begin with in the Prem, he was getting absolutely hammered every week. And I think they're starting to work out who they are and where they belong. And actually, if they do go down, I don't think it will be because of a lack of quality. I agree. I think that Burnley are probably the better footballing team, but you just don't know with Luton. We've seen them pull off some ridiculous results this season. They've frustrated us, you know, more than anything. But we just need Man United and Wolves to do the business for us. And that just gives us a little bit of breathing space, hopefully. And then, you know, we go into the next game, which is Sheffield United away. Hopefully sealing a victory away finally.
I think Man United will win. I mean, Burnley, I know they scored 4 goals at Sheffield United. Sheffield United should have scored more than they did. And Man United, I don't know if anyone's seen this, the table based on, I mean, I know people hate XG and expected points, but there's an expected points table where we should have 45 and Man U should be below us in the league based on performances. But the wider point about
a load of rubbish.
But the wider point about Man United just massively relying on individuals to bail them out time after time. And I think they'll do that against Burnley. Players like Bruno and that little rat Garnacho who's in my fantasy team, they're gonna come up and do the business for us, I think. So yeah, I'd be backing them. Right, before we move on to any other business, any final thoughts on this game, Greg?
I've just seen the ticket exchange, little emails popped up, the ticket exchange is open, so there'll be tickets popping up here and there for any last minute ones. I just think just make it loud, really. As soon as that first minute starts, just really go for it. Have that. The best thing about the Premier League season last season was when we got that equaliser, and for the last 5 minutes, the whole crowd, the whole stand was just rocking. And there was that famous Five Live bit where they just said, listen to this and stop speaking. And we haven't had that this season. I can't remember one game where we've just felt that absolute euphoria. So you never know. Just never give up. I hate the Premier League. I hate everything about it. I hate the fact we're a little number in there, just there. It feels like we're there to make up and never get any further. But I still don't ever want to leave it. So you have this weird relationship with the stinking thing. But just give us that second, third season and see what we can do.
Is that the big thing for you as well, Emily, the crowd? Because I was listening to an interview earlier, a podcast, Quickly Kevin, where they were, Glenn Hoddle was the guest, and he was saying fans don't realise the power they have to influence a game. He referenced the Liverpool crowd, which I think is a bit overrated, actually, but saying they can turn a game.
Absolutely.
We haven't done that, but we can.
We haven't. I have to say, though, that I would say up to the moment where Liverpool scored in the 97th minute, I thought the Liverpool game, we really got behind the team. Let's just bottle what we did last season against the likes of Arsenal and Man City and be that 12th man. When you're in a stadium where it's really loud, you know, like it was when Chris Wood scored last season, it gets you going as well. And then it felt like the whole stadium was literally bouncing. It was just insane. So, I just really hope Forest can start positively and not in that passive nature that we know they can, and that the crowd get behind the team from minute one, and whatever happens on Sunday, let's just keep going. And a bit like Greg, God, I hate the Premier League, but I desperately want Forest to stay in it. So, just get behind the team. Just get behind the team. Let's forget about all the off-field matters, because we can't control any of that. We can't control VAR, but we can control how we support our team. So just keep going.
Quick word for our second sponsors before we move on to any other business and final thoughts. Thanks to Home Move Estate Agents and Ben Sales, big Forest fan. He was at our live show and, like I said earlier, lovely guy. So if you're looking to buy or sell a house, they are the people for you. Link to their website is in the description. But for those who are listening, I'll read out their number if people still use landlines and make phone calls. It's 0115 832 1321. They are 5-star rated on Google as well, so I'm sure they will do a top job for you. Right, any other business, Emily, before we go?
No, nothing at all for me today, thank you.
Greg Mitchell, anything from you?
I was supposed to be on the overlap next Thursday, but it's been cancelled at short notice.
Running scared of you. You've seen them off.
I'm gonna say that, but I'm not sure. It is a pantomime, like someone's just said in the comments, but it is amusing, this stuff that's going on now, isn't it? But also on a more serious note, if you haven't seen it already, because we only put it out at midday, I think Forza have done a... Not myself, I'm not good enough for stuff like this, but Forza have done quite a comprehensive look at the season ticket pricing. We sent it the club on Tuesday, I think, just saying that we are going to release it today, and we got a response from the club. They're looking at it, so that's a good sign, I suppose, if we can take one. But just go and have a look at it. I think the biggest headline from it is 18 to 20-year-olds, I think, are paying the third highest price for a season ticket next year if we're in the Premier League, and that's obviously not good enough, so hopefully the club will spend time to look at that, and hopefully the fans will have a look too. But on to Saturday, we've just got to forget everything, haven't we? Just turn everything off Sunday and go for that win.
And I've heard a rumour as well that your mates Carragher and Neville aren't going to be there on Sunday, is that right, Greg?
I know, it's such a shame that is. I'd have loved to give them a little sing-song. I think that would have really got the crowd up if they had to walk around. But I don't think they like the fact you've got to walk up the A block, have you, to get to the commentary. So could helicopter them in, there's always a way.
Yeah, definitely seen them off on that front. I don't think they'll be there. The only one for me, I was going to say, I shouldn't say it's my promise, I also hate this season. Like, I've come to really hate this season. I've hated the last 2 weeks. I hate VAR. I hate that some of us are now agreeing with Matt Letizia, Richard Keys and Mark Goldbridge, of all people. What is going on? I don't think refs are corrupt. I know it's a popular thing for me to say, but I just don't. Stuart Atwell was back in the headlines last night with another horrific decision. Just an awful ref. And I do think VAR is just sucking the soul out of the game. The Premier League sort of, it is corrupted by its own greed and own self-importance. And I think we're just losing what football should be. Like the last 2 weeks on this podcast, I have hated talking about season tickets so much. Obviously, it's an important thing to talk about, but I just want to talk about football. I've hated talking about VAR so much. I just hate the direction of football, really. So the point I'm getting to is I heard a really good call yesterday that I flagged on my Twitter feed on Football Heaven on BBC Radio Sheffield with a caller called Andrew phoning in about Doncaster Rovers, not a Premier League team, nowhere near a Premier League team. And he was talking about their game against Barrow, where they, I think they won 4-1 or something. They won 10 games in a row and they're going for the Premier League. And he was talking about his dad, who's got dementia. And he was saying, like, I think they'd had a bit of a rift or something. And he was fighting to find this kind of this moment and this memory that he could carry with him when his dad's gone. And they scored this goal to make it 3-2. And he said, that's it for him. That's the thing that'll stick with him. And the point of it is, football to me isn't necessary. I'd love to stay in the Premier League, and I'll be gutted if we get relegated, but it's not about the Premier League. It's about those moments. And we had that at Forest the last 2 years, and we've really lost it. And I hope we can get back somewhere near that, even in the Premier League in the next few weeks. But the point is, football's about those moments. And I think we should all kind of take a moment to kind of remember that and forget all the shit that goes with it about VAR and all that stuff. And that's why I love football. So that's mm-hmm. what I would say. Check out that call. It's on my Twitter. Andrew, his name was. Lovely call. Quite sad, but quite uplifting. So there you go. That's it from me. Right. Thanks for everyone's company. If you have enjoyed this, do us a favour. Hit like, hit subscribe. Don't be put off by my monologue too much there. Give us a good review on iTunes. You can become a channel member and just spread the word in general. Good to have 330 people with us. Greg, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. I said it before, but I thought your hair was looking great today. I'm not sure what you've done with it.
Literally nothing. I washed it yesterday. That was it. Emily, thank you. Your hair's looking lovely, as is Greg's.
I have washed my hair today as well. I loved your monologue. It actually left me with a little lump in my throat, so thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for their company. Like I say, we are back tomorrow with the opposition preview with Simon Bajkowski of the Manchester Evening News. Some interesting thoughts about City and any other weaknesses that we can exploit. There aren't many, but there are something. So do check it out. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game, and we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.